Welcome to Life Community Church. We are a lively, growing church in the heart of Royal Leamington Spa. We trust that this message will encourage you and help you to live a life full of purpose as God intended.
We appreciate it. So if you don't know me, my name is Ruth Dowsett. I am married to Ian here, and we moved to Leamington last November. We're leading the Well Christian Healing Centre here in Leamington. And we were so grateful we quickly found a home here at LCC and felt so welcomed and part of this fellowship. So thank you so much for making us feel that way. It's just a joy to be worshipping with you. So for those of you who were here last week, you may remember that we had John Froggett from Rugby Community Church. I got that right. I loved the way that John began his talk last week. He began his talk with a few jokes. So I just thought, I'm gonna do the same. Just kind of bring a bit of a light this to the atmosphere as well. So here are some church bulletin bloopers, which I hope you'll give you a laugh just as we begin. So the first one, the cost of the fasting and prayer conference includes meals. Okay. I hope this isn't true of me today, but the pastor will preach, well it won't be, but it will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing Break Forth into Joy. This is my favourite, this one. The sermon this morning, Jesus walks on water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus. That was brilliant. And then just one more. Finally, for those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Hopefully, parents, you should know that you have got children. That's our point, that one. So, anyway, some jokes for us to start with, but just on a more serious note, for those of you who've been worshipping at LCC over the past few weeks, as Dave said, you'll know that we've been going through the summer in the Psalms. So we had, right at the beginning of August, we had Catherine speaking to us from Psalm 139. We had Friday, a couple of weeks ago, spoke on Psalm 8, and then John the Froggett last week on Psalm 23. And John so beautifully articulated, didn't he, that the Psalms are songs for all seasons. They bring strength, they bring comfort, they bring hope to people. They're such a go-to place, aren't they? Whether we're praising or whether we're in pain, they span every emotion that we feel. And there are so many amazing psalms to choose from. It's actually quite difficult when you're given that, which psalm would you like? There's 150, aren't there, to choose from. But the one that kind of came immediately into my head when Dave and Leanne messaged was Psalm 63. So if you have your Bible or your phone here with you this morning, why not just turn to that now? Ian's going to come and read it for us as well.
I'm very glad you choose Psalm 119. Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be satisfied, as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Ian. So, in the context of Psalm 63, as he said, it's a wilderness. It's both literally a wilderness and it's emotionally a wilderness as well for King David. And I don't know about you, but I've never actually visited a physical desert. Has anyone ever been to a physical desert? No? No hands? Up. But the closest that I've come to it, as I'm sure many of you will have done over these last few weeks, is through experiencing these like record-breaking temperatures that we've had here in the UK and across Europe as well. So many of us have been living in this dry and weary land, haven't we? Like, if you look at our green spaces around, the grass is parched, utterly brown, it's longing for, and it's in desperate need of water. And David finds himself exiled in this Judean wilderness, and we only discover the reason why he's exiled in the wilderness towards the end of the psalm. If you've still got your passage open, it says that the people were speaking lies about him, and they were even wanting to kill him. So he was in this desert, all on his own, parched, dry land, but also just feeling people chasing him, pursuing him. I mean, just put yourself in David's shoes for a moment. He must have felt utterly alone. He must have felt lost. He must have been struggling. He must have felt utterly helpless. What's happening to me? Where am I? Kind of thing. He must have felt hunted, confused, just like those feelings that he would have felt, like his physical enemies were pursuing him, all on his own in this wilderness. And I'm guessing that not many of us can relate to, say, physical enemies, people chasing after us. But I wonder if any of us here today can relate to some of the emotions that David felt in the psalm, either currently, like at the moment, or in the past in your life, because of difficult circumstances you've been through. Anyone ever felt helpless, lost, confused? Hands up? Yeah. Yeah, I think it's something we can all relate to, isn't it, what David was going through. And there isn't really time for me to tell my story in depth today, but I've been a Christian since the age of 9. And I can honestly say that I haven't walked through a wilderness season in the way that I feel like the Lord's taken me through in the last 3 to 4 years. That song, Firm Foundation, has been utterly crucial for me. Like, I felt the rains and I felt the storms in our life. And yet, I've just been able to go, here's my firm foundation. Here's the rock on which I stand. And I don't want to be someone who's shaken. I want my roots to be down deep in the soil of his God's love as well. So I feel like the Lord's brought me through this wilderness season. I'm coming out the other side. Hallelujah. But I totally relate to David's emotions in the psalm. I relate to his experience in the psalm and also the actions that he takes in Psalm 63. And so I trust that you're going to hear me speak with integrity this morning. And so, like me, each of us is faced with a choice when life's challenges come our way, or times of wilderness come our way, about who we're going to look to, what are we going to look to, where are we going to have our needs satisfied. And so, through the lens of Psalm 63, we're going to look at how David's actions and his attitudes provide us with a model of how we can intimately know God and thrive even in the midst of life's challenges. I don't know if anyone leads to listens to Lecture 365, but that's what Pete Grigg has been saying all week, actually. He says about intimately knowing God and thriving, even in the middle of life circumstances. And so I'm going to be drawing out sort of 3 keys from Psalm 63, which demonstrate how David both survived and he thrived, even in a difficult time, rather than succumbing to kind of depression, which he could have so easily done, or a pity party. Woe is me, my circumstances are awful. No, he didn't do that. We're going to look at 3 keys to how he did it. So the three keys are spiritual longing, satisfaction and rejoicing, and protection and vindication. However, I really felt like the Lord said to spend the most time on the first key, a couple of verses, because the outcome in the rest of the passage derives from how the psalm begins. thriving in difficult and challenging life circumstances is spiritual longing. And David begins this psalm by expressing his desperation. Why don't we just read verses 1 and 2 together? If you've got the Bible, so I actually haven't got the NIV version in front of me now, but I've got the other version. Thank you. Let's just read verses 1 and 2 together. So you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Okay, so that's the NIV. I might hold on to it actually, do it, my darling. Thank you. So that's the NIV version of it, but have a listen to a couple of other versions of these as well. God, this is the Message version. God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. I worked up such hunger and thirst for God, traveling across dry deserts. So here I am in the place of worship. I love this place of worship. Eyes open, drinking in your strength and your glory. Beautiful. Eyes open, drinking in his strength and his glory. Here's the Passion Translation. Oh God of my life, I am lovesick for you in this weary wilderness. I thirst with the deepest longings to love you more, with cravings in my heart that can't be described. Such yearning grips my soul for you, my God. David starts Psalm 63 by acknowledging that God is the source, that God alone is the fountain. He recognizes that everything comes from him, that apart from him, we have nothing and can do nothing. This starts in that posture, you're my source. But then he moves on and begins to seek him. He says, my soul thirsts for you. I feel myself just using the whole of my body. I want more of you, Jesus. My soul longs for you. I'm so thirsty. We're so dry in this land. And I guess most of you here today know what it's like to feel dehydrated or hungry. Am I right? Yes, cool. So when I was going through my first lot of chemotherapy about this time last year, just come out of a year-long journey of having breast cancer, I was going through chemotherapy. And in my first lot of chemotherapy, I was given two drugs. And they made me feel utterly dehydrated. So much so I bought this massive red bottle, which is 2 litres. I've never ever drunk so much water in my life. But I carried this bottle everywhere with me because the chemotherapy drugs were drying me out so much that I literally had to keep drinking in order to remain hydrated. And this is something of what David's expressing in this psalm. He's saying, I can't get enough of you. Whenever I thirst, I just have to drink some more. Lord, he said he's got such a sense of spiritual longing that it leads him to seek God. And you see in this passage that he doesn't do this casually, like, oh, I'm just gonna kind of do it, like, just, yeah, casually, as I said. He uses the word earnestly, and earnestly means seriously. And in a determined way. I wonder how many of us here are so hungry and so thirsty that we can't get enough of Jesus. Like, I'm not settled with the amount I've got, God. I want more of you, Jesus. I'm going to keep hungering and thirsting after you because I know there's more. Yes. And so he uses this word earnestly. In another scripture, another version of scripture, he uses the word early. So the first thing he does, David, every day, is to spend time with the Lord. And he's not kind of just doing it as a, I'm just going to check the box, it's done for the day, out the way. He does it in a way that says, I want to know you, Jesus. He's searching for God with everything within him, his whole heart, his hungering and thirsting. Jeremiah 29:13 says, if we search after him, with our whole heart, then we will find him. Yeah. That is a promise. Yeah. It's something we can claim. If I keep coming after you, Jesus, if I keep pushing in for more, there is more to be had as well. That I will find you. And we can again pull on that promise. This is again from the word, isn't it? It's a whole heart invitation into an undivided and an undistracted pursuit of Jesus. The Lord wants us to be abundantly satisfied with his goodness and to not look to other things to satisfy a place in us which can only be satisfied in him. So why not, just for a minute or two, turn to the person next to you and maybe just share a time when you remember being so hungry and thirsty for God. When you fall in love with someone, you can't get enough of them. You want to be with them all the time. You can't stop thinking about them. Everything within you just wants to be around, doesn't it? And this is the level of passion and desperation that David had in this passage. And why not just turn around? Maybe it was a time that you've made the decision to follow Jesus and you're just so in love pursuing him. Maybe for some of you young people like me, it was when I went on youth camps every summer and I met afresh with Jesus and I was brimming with him and passion for him again. So why not just turn around where you are, tell your neighbour when you was just desperately hungry and thirsty for Jesus. If the Lord's brought something back to remembrance for you, this is how he wants us to live. Not just when we had our first love, that first encounter, but he wants us to be people who are living continually from this place of hydration and hunger as well. So if he's brought something back to remembrance for you today, we're gonna pray in a couple of minutes just for him to stir that and awaken that fresh in us again. I'm just going to carry on. And David goes on in verse 2. He says, "I've seen you in the sanctuary, and I've beheld your power and glory." Behold means to see or observe something or someone, especially of remarkable or impressive nature. That's what he saw. He saw, as he beheld Jesus, someone of impressive and remarkable nature. Beholding conveys a slow appreciation and a lingering look. Then a pause and a wait and a look. Just how amazing and beautiful and glorious. That's what we do in worship, isn't it? My worship is so important. We turn our eyes upon Jesus and who he is rather than looking at ourselves. Joshua Luke Smith, in his recent book, he's called it This Is the Main Event, writes, "Beholding the beauty of God is not an aesthetic experience like observing a painting, but it's more akin to the baby emerging from the womb, bewildered and already searching, scanning the room for a face, but not just any. The face of the one that is beautiful, whose lullaby beneath their skin, whose life has given life to them, and in whose presence they find refuge. They say that the gaze of an infant upon their parent is essential for its development, affirming their place in creation. And so it is for us to glimpse the face of God. Beautiful, just like us seeing him, but also him seeing us, like, you know, like his face shines upon us, his countenance on us. Like we see him, but we also recognize who we are in him in worship too. So I wonder, just even the last few days, over this last week, how many of us have taken time to behold God, to gaze upon his beauty with that slow appreciation and that lingering look. Are you like, Jesus, show me more of you? That's what he's asking us, to posture our hearts in that place of looking at him in his face. You know, we can see from the second verse as well that David knew exactly where to look. He didn't look to the world to meet his need in a shallow way that only God could satisfy. The cry in David's heart was, there has to be more. More than what I can accumulate, more than what I can accomplish, more than what I can experience or encounter in this earthly life. And then the psalm describes where David goes. He goes to the temple and he goes to the sanctuary. He lifts his eyes up, he lifts his gaze, just like other scriptures in the psalms encourage us to. I lift my eyes up to the mountains, Psalm 121. No, Psalm 34, those who look to Jesus will be radiant. Their faces never covered with shame. So as we look at him, as he gazes upon his face, we can be that mirror image to him and to everyone else around us as well. And I probably would have struggled to say this at the time. In fact, I definitely would have struggled to say this at the time. However, as I was writing this talk, I became so thankful to the Lord because whilst walking through what I would describe as my wilderness season over the last 3 or 4 years, the Lord placed him and I in a residential community, about 23 of us living together, and those other people who we were living with were utterly, passionately pursuing Jesus. They were people who are hungry for him. Such a joy to be around people like that. And also, whilst I was there, one of my roles there was to set up a prayer of house and worship, which meant I spent a lot of time in the chapel that was part of the house, praising and worshiping him. I'm so grateful now that I had the opportunity, in a time I felt the lowest that I probably felt, to keep gazing and keep beholding and keep looking at the face of Jesus, because it kept me from looking down, going, again, that pissy party that I could probably did at times get myself into. But just as soon as I came into his presence and looked, it took away that and made me to focus on his face. So whether we're going through challenging circumstances today or whether we're not, we can often look to other things to quench our thirst or our hunger. We might look to food, to possessions, to entertainment, even other people. But that's not what we see David doing in the psalm. His primary focus and his primary pursuit is on Jesus to meet his needs. And so before we move into the second key, I just want us to take up this morning, each of us, to take a bit of a reality check. And just to pause and for a minute or two and just ask ourselves, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, where would we place our current level of spiritual longing? Like, how desperate are we for Jesus? When life gets tough or our circumstances are overwhelming, where are we looking? Who are we looking to? Where are we having our needs met and satisfied? Where is our attention placed and our affections given? And in this moment, as we just take this pause and we have this reality check, you might even want to just adopt a physical posture of just arms extended or knees bound, and just ask, like, whether you're spiritually depleted or you're just a fully satisfied, ask the Lord to renew in you like this unquenchable appetite for Him, that you can't, like me, you can't stop drinking of Him, you can't have enough of Him. So let's ask Him just in this moment to fill us afresh with His Holy Spirit. And as you're asking for yourself, ask that for our nation and our nation too, that our nation would be a place of such deep spiritual longing and hunger. So let's take a couple of minutes again, stop, just express your needs. You need to do that with your arms. You need to express it physically, with your knees bowed. Oh, Jesus. You might want to use your words, you might want to be quiet. However you want to express your need of God and Him to renew that within you. Let's do that now together. Lord absolutely loves it when we're hungry for Him. Longs to fill us and satisfy us. Just looking for hearts that are searching and seeking after it. Yes, today, as we pray. And then just move on, but having chosen to posture his heart and pursue Jesus, even in the most challenging of circumstances, let's move on to read together verses 3-5 of Psalm 63 as well. Find this on the phone again, excuse me. Okay. So it says, because your love. You've got your Bibles or your phones, so let's read this together again. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. So in this place of earnestly hungering and thirsting after God, and from beholding Him in the sanctuary, we read consequently in verses 3 that David discovers a love and a deep satisfaction in Jesus, which declares that his love is better than life. And then he repeatedly goes on to give thanks and praise. We read the NIV again, but in the message it says, in your generous love, I am really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. And I love this as well, verse 5. I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy. I smack my lips. It's time to shout praise. It's great, these different versions of scripture, isn't it? Eating my fill of prime rib and gravy. But when I was in my teenage years, I used to absolutely love going to Pizza Huts. Do you remember those, I think they still have them actually, those all-you-can-eat buffets? Anyone remember those? Yes. So good. They were, I think they were only like £5 or £6 at the time. Such a bargain, isn't it? And the food was reasonable. Their food was tasty, and you could have as much as you like. You could literally keep going back up to the stand, getting more pizza, you could get more salads, and you just, I mean, you basically ended up coming away utterly stuffed, didn't you? Maybe probably slightly less, but anyway, it was really good at the time. And then just just earlier this year, Ian and I went for a few days away in Broadway, and I've just come, Broadway's in the Cotswolds, I've just come to the end of chemotherapy, and we decided to, I wish I'd got a photo actually, but we decided to treat ourselves and went for a meal to a posh hotel in Broadway, where the quantity of food wasn't so great, but the quality of food was just like, oh, so incredible. It was like rich, it was filling, I think both we had beef and I had lamb, and we came away like so satisfied for what we'd eaten. And I think that this is what Jesus wants for each of us. He wants us to taste and hunger and thirst of him, and to taste him so much that we are so fully satisfied in him that we don't, there's nowhere else or nothing else we look to. That we are filled by him. And it says in his word again that we can have this. In Psalm 16, it says, "You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Psalm 36, 8, "They feast in the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights." He's basically saying, guys, there's never enough that you can have of me. Even if you went up to that Pizza Hut buffet once, you can go back again and again and again and again. There's always more in Jesus. And so if anyone that just is feeling static or settled today, let God stir your spirit and let him awaken you for more. And we've prayed that, but I just also felt as I was preparing earlier on, prayer is so important, that we also need to be people, like David encouraged us to do this earlier, taking the practical step. Like, what's one step that you and I could do today to say, "I want more of you, Jesus"? You know, do we need to get up even 10 minutes earlier? Do we need to fast, make a decision to fast once a week? What's one thing each of us can do to say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to show you, Jesus, that I want more of you? Because, you know, when we step out and step into something that we've said, God meets us in it, and he provides us in it, and he satisfies us in it, as it says. You know, it says in Matthew 5, 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled." You know, and again, in Psalm 23, it says, he prepares a table for us. It's not just like a little mini table, it's like a table, it's a feast that we can eat of, and each of us has access to that in Jesus, a table and a feast with him. So let's be those who hunger, thirst, seek, search, as this is saying, and we can know that as we do that, he will satisfy our deepest needs, which then goes on to David rejoicing. You know, in Psalm 63 again, verse 3, "My lips will glorify you. I will praise you. My mouth will praise you. All who swear in God will rejoice in him." So he's sought after God. He's been satisfied in God. And now he's going, "Thank you, Jesus. Even in the midst of my wilderness and my dry time, I have a fountain of delights in you as well." Charles Spurgeon, commenting on this psalm, says, "David did not leave singing because he was in the wilderness. Neither did he in slovenly idleness go on repeating psalms intended for other occasions, but he carefully made his worship suitable to his circumstances, and he presented to his God a wilderness hymn when he was in the wilderness." This is the line I particularly like. "There was no desert in God's in King David's heart, though there was a desert around him." I love that. But he still found the fountain of life, even though he was in the desert. So he offers up this sacrifice of praise. He says, "In your name I will lift up my hands." That's why we do that in worship, isn't it? We often offer our hands up, we lift our hands up as a sacrifice of praise to you, King Jesus. I was going to ask us in a moment to do something, but do you know what? This church is absolutely amazing. at praise. I think it's one of the things I've most appreciated since being here, but this is what we see David doing here in the psalm. He's satisfied in Jesus and then he praises. I know for me, going through my wilderness season, the spirit, one of the spiritual disciplines I found most helpful was keeping a gratitude journal. Still trying to do it now as much as possible, naming ways that I'm thankful to Jesus. Sometimes because I felt low, it was as small as the thank you for the bird song, Lord Jesus, or the magnolia growing on the trees. Other times I was thanking him for financial gifts that he'd given us, the jobs that we were receiving as a family. And so this sense of being satisfied leads us to praise. And that's what we see David doing in the wilderness. There's a beautiful song called I Choose to Worship by Ren Collective. And it says, I will praise you through the fire, through the storm, and through the flood. There is nothing that can steal my soul. In the valley, you are worthy. You are good when life is not. You will always and forever be my song. And just also the words, you know, blessed be your name. He says that we can praise God whether the land is plentiful or whether we're in the desert place. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, plenty or nothing, we can always find reasons to praise. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just do that for a moment now as well, just where you are. We've already praised God so much this morning, but there's always more we can thank him for. So why don't you just lift up your hands and just name some things you're thankful for again today. Thank you for our homes, for our families. Thank you for the food on our table, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the health and sea. Thank you, Lord, for the rain that is coming. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy towards me. Thank you, Jesus, for the rain, the grave. Thank you for your salvation and your mercy today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all the goodness, your blessings. We pray on you and worship. Circumstances as David did. Secondly, learning to be satisfied in him and rejoicing for the way that he meets us. And then moving on to this third key as well, to thriving in difficult circumstances with protection and vindication. And again, let's read together verses 6 to 11 in Psalm 63. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, blessing me in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Reminding me to keep hungering, thirsting after Jesus. So, as I said at the beginning, David was not in a good place in this psalm. He was in the wilderness, literally, he was in the wilderness emotionally. Everything looked pretty dire for him. He looks like he was surrounded by his enemies with no way out. However, David clings, and cling means to adhere or stick closely to be hard to part from God. David clings to God through whatever we're going through, life circumstances, holding on to Jesus. He chooses to put his trust in Jesus. Just as we've been singing, I put my trust in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, at my foundation. David acknowledges that the Lord is is his help. He hides himself in God, abiding in God's presence. You know, in Psalm 32, he says, "You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance." And then in Psalm 91, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress, great, my God in whom I trust." Love it that you all know scripture. So good to have Psalm 119 scripture hidden in our hearts, isn't it? So that we can declare it as well. So even when David feels surrounded, as that worship song says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. He says, "You are surrounding me. I'm putting my trust in you. Even though there may be enemies around me, I'm choosing to posture myself that you are around me for me." We read that David chooses to sing in the shadow of God's wings. He lifts up his hands in that posture of victory, not defeat. David even trusts that those who seek his life will fall, while the king and those who swear by God will rejoice. It's incredible that even in the midst of quite a barren, dry circumstance where everything looks like it's coming at him, and it looks like he can still declare that God is his deliverer and his vindicator. He has such confidence in who his God is. And before I come into land, I just wanted to read a poem which has been written by, and is just about to be published, along with some other poems, by a lady called Chris Tench from The Well, where Ian and I work. It's called "How Many Times." And I don't know if any of you can relate to anything with what David's, we've heard about David feeling in this psalm today, whether you're feeling in that emotionally dry place, or whether you're in difficult life circumstances. But I really pray that these words in this psalm will encourage you and others of us, all of us here too, to reaffirm your confidence in the Lord's protection over you. So this poem is called "How Many Times." You may want to just shut your eyes and so you can take it in over to you. "How many times did he call to me? How often leave a loving sign? How many times did he my steps direct? More, I'm sure, than I ever could suspect. How many times did he bar the lion's den? How often did he still the pounding sea? How many fiery arrows did he deflect? More, I'm sure, than ever I could suspect. How many times did he catch me as I was about to fall? How often clear my way of pits and snares? How many defending walls did he erect? More, I'm sure, than ever I could suspect. How many times, O Lord, how many times, I truly cannot know. For you did, you do, and you will protect so, so much more than I could ever suspect." We have such an incredible God who is our advocate, our dependent, our defender, our protector. Can you only see in part again, don't we? Just how much he's doing that for each one of us. That's who he is. So as I conclude this morning, just to encourage us again to be people who thrive in the wilderness, thrive in difficult situations, let's follow David's example here in this psalm. Let's be people who look to Jesus, whose hearts hunger and thirst, can't get enough of him, keep dreaming after him. Let's allow him to sustain us and satisfy us, to look to him to meet our needs, and to keep looking, not to settle or be content, saying, I want more of you, Jesus. Let's be people who consistently find ways to worship and praise him, even in the midst of the mystery and pain. And then also let's be those who choose to hide and abide in the shelter and the shadow of the Most High God, acknowledging our need of his help and being confident that he will rescue, deliver, vindicate, and bring us back into a spacious place again, as Psalm 18 says, because he delights in us. In Jesus' name. Amen.